You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
MMAfighting.com, and we have wrapped up UFC 246. We're all very tired because we've been working so hard. So what's a good remedy?
Are you tired if you're
too tired?
Good
question. But I'll tell you what, I'm in the mood for some coffee. How about you guys?
What is it? Sunday? I'm in coffee.
Are we ready to punch this?
I'm in mood for coffee and talking.
Well, I've just got the show for that, would you believe?
Welcome to Coffee and Talking.
If we can somehow shorten that, I don't know.
We need to plunge this.
Talking cough.
Oh, all right, here
Let's
we go.
Let's put it in. Power up, power, team.
Wait, I want the girl.
Your ham is hella slamming. Wonder Twin Powers, activate.
Right now.
Oh, so what are we drinking, Esther? Well,
we are drinking Stumptown Founders Blend.
Ooh, one of my faves.
Lovely. All
right, and you. And what is this? This is some
soy boy shit. Oh, sorry, oat milk creamer.
Very nice.
Because I can't have dairy.
Well, like I'm usually a full milk kind of guy, but I'm willing to experiment
like
here with all you people from the new world.
No, I like my coffee so black. There's an event horizon.
I actually prefer black coffee with sugar, but for the purposes of not drinking
pizza, you're
going
to have to pour this into my thing.
You want me to pour that for you?
Yeah.
Do you trust me with that?
No, but we have, this is a trust building. Tony Robbins was in the building this week, so I have to learn how to trust.
Was he actually at the fight, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I have a picture of him in the corner.
He's a big lad.
Right, there we go.
Yes.
Big lad.
Yeah, so I mean.
A lad, yeah. Is he a mad lad?
No, he's fairly.
Hey, don't hit my crystal.
Fairly conservative, I'd say.
I don't think anyone, if people haven't noticed, we all have our crystals right out.
Yeah, of course they notice. But what's going on here?
Do you cheers?
Do you cheers coffee? Yeah, let's try it.
Cheers.
Yeah?
What are we cheering to?
I don't know, I did it twice with you now.
We did it, yeah.
So the Boston Red Sox.
Houston Astros.
But yeah, so I guess the big thing everyone's talking about today is the return of Conor McGregor, and is he back in the good graces of the MMA community and the international fan base? I mean, it seems like that. I'm not going to lie. Like, he came in and he beats Cerrone, and we all expect him to beat him, but it feels like everything's different today. Even in Ireland, I feel like this win has really transformed what he means to the people.
Well, I can't answer for international fans because I live about 45-minute flight away in Phoenix. But in America, it didn't really feel like his stock as a fighter and his celebrity fell much. It was basically like out of sight, out of mind. Like, since he wasn't fighting, he wasn't relevant. But as soon as the fight got announced, I had a lot of people asking me questions. But again, I've never been to Ireland, so I don't know how. I couldn't answer that question. You'd have it better.
Well, I think really what we're asking, does winning erase everything that's happened outside the cage? Yeah, he lost against Habib. He lost against Floyd. Big whoop. Everyone's losers. We think we've kind of accepted this.
He lost to two undefeated fighters, too.
Yeah, so yeah, he lost to better fighters, yeah. But him winning last night in spectacular fashion, does it erase punching old men? Alleged.
Sexual misconduct.
Yeah, and everything throwing things through buses. Like, is that all just, well, he won, so. What changed?
I think the fact that he was so out of control and all of these things kept coming up, like the bar incident and the guy's phone, even scaling the cage at Bellator with Goddard and all that. I think he just seemed so out of control.
I forgot about that. He's wearing a bear costume.
So many.
Yeah.
He's wearing a bear costume.
Yeah.
That.
But like there was also the incident in Dansk where there was some type of homophobic slur backstage.
I think
the camera caught him. Like, there was a lot of things. And it just seemed like he was completely unhinged. So I think the fact that he showed up this week, he was pretty conservative compared to his usual self. Seemed like he had his like, you know, stuff together. And then he went in and won. I think that kind of, as far as people are concerned, it looks like he has a hold of himself again, at least. You know what I mean? Like, and that's better than what was happening. I think that's what it is.
Well, that's why this was just absolutely brilliant matchmaking.
Oh, yeah, I
just
agree.
Brilliant matchmaking by the UFC. And Cowboy Cerrone just played the perfect role. It was just perfect for him. The timing of everything, to have this big name fighter, a guy that you could sell has most head kick knockouts, most of this, most that, most of this. And statistically, yeah, it looks like a very legitimate fight. But
you look at his record, he's been knocked out 3 times in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
It's hard to look past.
Badly broken nose only in June of last year. Then
because I got blown up.
Yep,
yeah.
But from the broken nose, that all was part of the whole facial breaking. then going basically straight back into camp again by Justin Gaethje. We know how that went. Mm. Then what takes a couple weeks off, goes straight back into camp again. Mm. Fights last night.
And two of those were lightweight too. So
yeah.
He was also
so two big, yeah, two big weight cuts, two hellacious beatings, and as soon as one shoulder hits the face.
What did you get from, like, you're right beside the cage, Esther. So what did you feel like from Cowboy? Like, I mean, you've covered so many of his fights. Did you notice anything in his demeanor when he came out, first of all, or anything like that? I was way too far away. I was like looking down the cage.
No, I didn't actually really notice anything. Although he had his back to me, and I didn't actually watch his walkout as closely because I was trying to get like a big wide shot of the arena.
But because it was a Conor fight, it wasn't a Cowboy fight,
right?
Yeah, that's
what
I mean.
But I was just getting a wide shot of the arena and all that kind of stuff, so I didn't actually watch him walk in, but he seemed fine. What I would say is that he did take a lot more than one shoulder strike to the face, but it was pretty apparent right away within like two or three shots. I was like, oh, this is going to be done soon. And especially when Cowboy missed that head kick, you were like, oof.
Yeah.
Like, he just looked completely
missed
out of
badly.
Sorts. Yeah, he was completely out of sorts already by that point. So you're like, this is going to end pretty soon. And all I could really think was, yeah, he's been knocked out 3 times in the last 6 months. What was it, 5 times in 18 months? These aren't good stats. But at the same time, you want to like... the thing I wanted to bring up most of all was when Casey and I were talking about this fight, you know, a lot of people were bringing up how Conor was like polite all week and this and that and how that was playing right into Cerrone because he's better when he's, you know, nice. No. He's better when he's nice to someone with someone who wants to brawl with him.
Yeah.
Conor played all week like he was going to brawl with him. It's like, yeah, we're going to have an or not. But he would let Cowboy say, we're going to have an exciting war. This is going to be this and that. Conor never had an intention of having a war.
First punch, like the loaded up on the left
hand.
Yeah,
he wanted to Conor. His intention was completely to end that in the first minute.
Didn't Conor say in this week? I mean, I wouldn't mind this fight going longer.
He said he wants rounds under his belt.
Yeah, like, and
that's
a
lie.
Dude, and we fell for that. I think even
everybody
the previous show, we're like, ooh, this fight might go a little long. It might be a good war.
Kavanaugh had said he expected to finish in the fourth or fifth round, but then at the press conference, Conor was like, I don't know about that now. He's like, I feel like it could be early.
That seems, to me, that seems like a really good game planning all week, or mental game, you know. That's what people were saying, like, is this a mental thing, whatever, is it just being nice? And I was like, it is a mental game, because he basically tricked Cowboy into thinking that he was going to have a fun fight with him.
Mm.
And that was not at
all.
That
did not look fun. No.
That is not at all what Conor's intention was.
Like Conor being the, probably the first... 2.5 minutes, first round, Conor is, I think, the best fighter in the world.
Yeah. Oh,
the first,
he starts
100%.
So hot.
Going against a notoriously slow fighter, a slow starter, Cerrone. And then you get in Cerrone's head that we're going to have like a little filling out, entertain the fans before we really get into it.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was just brilliant, brilliant mind games by Conor.
Yeah.
Is there anything to be said for the fact that we've never really seen him throw those shoulder strikes, you know, like we've never seen him. He doesn't throw a lot of head kicks. He used to in Cage Warriors, like I remember against Mendez, he might have thrown a few head kicks. But is there anything to be said that we've seen a few new wrinkles in his game here, do you think, or no?
I don't think at all. I think any other top welterweight that you're not gonna knock him out with shoulder strikes.
Right.
Like, it's not all of a sudden he has like a secret weapon they can pull out of his back.
Yeah.
Also, Benson Henderson's thrown those before. I've seen a lot of fighters throw those.
Yeah.
But have you ever
seen
him damage someone to that extent? Because it felt like after three of those, Cerrone was backing up and then the head kick came.
Because normally they do it right up against the cage and I think you can kind of just like... Cerrone just wasn't... I just wasn't expecting it.
And most guys don't get knocked out 2 previous times, 6 months before that, and had a broken face.
Yeah.
And
the second they separated, I could already see like sort of his face was already swollen.
Connor hurt a broken nose. He made a broken nose more broken.
Mm. Yeah.
There was a lot of damage on his face. Actually, I noticed that at the end of the fight when they're standing there to get the official decision, and Cowboy's still holding the can of Monster Energy. I'm like, can this guy be any better for the company? Like, I mean, can you not take a second for yourself there, you know? It was just strange, I thought, like the whole scene there at the very end, you know? But it does feel like, from an Irish point of view, I guess the flag became the symbol of Conor McGregor in America.
Mm-hmm.
He was always draped in the tricolor and stuff like that, and that's our national identity. So I guess when he started acting so poorly, people felt as though it was having a negative effect on the Irish identity. But the fact that he's come in here and he's been well behaved all week and he gets a resounding victory. And you got to remember, the people that tune into Conor McGregor fights in Ireland are not MMA fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're tuning in to see their guy fight. So I feel like it's changed, like not everybody, but not by a long shot, but the people who say were casual fans that were traveling to these events that were, you know, just there for the Conor stuff. I feel like he has gained a lot of ground back on them just overnight, just based on that. And that doesn't mean everybody in Ireland. That's just the people who are interested or slightly interested in MMA.
Okay. Are people very upset about
his
life outside?
Yeah.
In Ireland? Because I would say here people are fairly forgiving.
Oh, well,
I think it matters. Because like, we're not, everyone's Irish, but not really Irish. You know, when you tell us these things, like, you know, he really hurt the national pride, it's like, no, he represents Ireland and he's doing these things.
Yeah.
But to us over here, we're like, that's funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same emotion. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say funny.
Well, I mean, as far as like, oh, the Irish fans are, you know, they're not like behind their guy. Like, but what doesn't, like, it doesn't affect me as a fan.
I found when he wasn't fighting, they weren't behind their guy, but even like people who, we're like, oh, I don't care who wins this fight. When the fight started, they were suddenly like, it's like if something inside them, you know, like a primal thing kicks in where like you have to, like,
you gotta root for
him. We push that guy up as like, this is the, you know, this is what it is to be Irish. So I feel like that's something that's going to be hard to separate from him. And there's people that absolutely don't want him to be that guy. But certainly the people who tuned in to see the fight last night, I feel like he's gained some ground back. But I mean, did he ever lose ground? You know, like in terms of like, this is the, like we were talking about the weigh-ins and stuff, and you were like, yeah, maybe it isn't like Mendez and Aldo, but it's still bigger than anything else.
It still felt bigger than pretty much any John Jones fight, maybe outside of John DC.
Yeah.
Outside of John DC, I mean, it. Connor is still leaps and bounds ahead of in popularity and wise than any other UFC fighter just by himself. He doesn't need an opponent. The opponent's a bonus.
Well, in terms of losing any ground, you brought it up that he. Connor doesn't get enough credit for having the perfect nickname.
It's so good.
The perfect nickname.
It was always perfect.
Notorious. Of course, he was always going to be, always going to be larger than his persona in the cage or whatever. So, what do you think of how he handled the win then last night? He immediately got down to his knees. He was really quiet, and then when he did the flag, he was very quiet. He just caught.
He hugged Cowboy's grandmother.
Kind of went up to him.
Well, she pointed at her, and then she was like, come here! And then they like,
We were talking about earlier this week, all the time he had these big call to actions for Ireland, and so would kind of hit home, and people would be like, you know, they'd swell with national pride.
Yeah.
He actually didn't do much of that at all this week until he won. Mm-hmm. And then he went full on St. Patrick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he didn't stop at the post-fight press conference. He did, and he needed to do that. He took some time to speak to RTE, the national broadcaster afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think he stopped doing that for a while and he lost touch with the people at home. And I think that needs to be done. And, you know, this, of course, there's still other things that need to be resolved before he's going to be fully accepted back. But, you know, I think that was a really good first step back into, you know, gaining back the trust of the people, really.
I have a question. Does he need the trust of the people to make money?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. Because
I think it means something to him.
He's very
patriotic.
It might mean something to him, but I don't think it affects his bank account at all.
No.
Because that's what makes him such a great prize fighter. Just like Floyd.
Mm.
As many people that want that pay that $60 to watch him win, there's an equal amount of people that pay that $60 to watch him lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the great prize fighters do. John Jones, you either you pay to watch him win or you pay to watch him lose. Mm-hmm. I think it's Ronda. Ronda's the same way. You know, you pay to watch her lose, you pay to watch her win. Conor's the same way. So he didn't lose anything as mm-hmm. far as like
notoriety only adds to that
bank account.
Yeah.
It's also like it's good that they've come out, right? And like we're not taught like it's new news. Like there's new stories here. Like it's not like we're nothing has happened. He's not fought. And all we have is these controversies. Like, I mean, from the brand point of view of McGregor, that was perfect because now we're talking Masvidal, Khabib, all these different things, all these different quotes he gave. Mm-hmm. You know, he's made lots of news out of one fight. It's,
out of 40 seconds.
Yeah, so many people are talking about so many different things. Khabib, Masvidal, you know, what's going to happen? Like, so I think really strong from his brand point of view, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got more questions off of the 40-second win than going in. I felt like when the last coffee talk we had, we were like, Conor wins, he's going to fight Jorge. That seems to be the... I mean, you were in the same boat.
Yeah.
Now there's still, like, there's five people you could fight.
Yeah, I still think Masvidal, though.
The biggest fight they can make.
So next fight. So what's next for Conor?
Yeah, I think that's a great fight to make.
It should be Jorge, especially if this report of Kamaru Usman being injured again. And I don't hate the idea of Conor versus Jorge for an interim title.
That sucks.
Okay.
Conor versus Jorge for the inaugural 165 belt.
Oh shit, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I actually think that the BMF
title. This is the perfect time. This is the perfect
BMF title is essentially the 165 belt anyway.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Just make it the 165 belt. Dude, like that makes it just
BMF. Conor would love that as well. Conor would love to be involved in the birth of a new division.
Because he can say that. Like,
I created this.
Yeah, this is me. Yeah. This is my BMF championship.
Don't need to cut weight. Just show up and
I mean, they can do all that.
But I gotta say, right? All of this, who's he gonna fight next? Like, I'm still miles away from going. Conor walks in there and he's gonna starch Masvidal, or he's gonna go in and starch Khabib. Like, I mean, I still think it's a huge leap to go from Cerrone to one of those guys. You know.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, still he beat a very, very unranked welterweight.
Yeah.
He beat a very shop-worn lightweight at welterweight.
Yeah, it was a hydrated lightweight fight.
And then, I mean, that's how Dana sold it. Remember, yeah. There's two lightweights who aren't counting weight.
He beat a 54er today. That's what he was saying at the press conference.
But then, of course, afterwards, Dana's like, you look great at welterweight. He's like, no, you look great at lightweight. Actually.
But it is, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Like, the vintage McGregor was always going after the biggest fish.
Mm-hmm.
And Cerrone just isn't the biggest fish. And maybe that's why... Maybe that's why people didn't. It didn't feel as though there was too much skin in the game.
You wanted him
time.
To seem like a. You always rooted for him because he seemed like an underdog.
Yeah.
Against Mayweather, or against Aldo, all that stuff. Eddie, and then it doesn't seem like he was. Yeah, against Cowboy.
He was always
Cowboy.
Trying to conquer new worlds, right?
Right. Like, yeah. Against Cowboy, it just seemed like he was picking on an old man.
Well, yeah.
That's coming into this fight week. I said this fight week felt similar to Mayweather versus Guerrero.
Yeah.
Who was a very top level fighter, but it was really just a fight to kind of keep Mayweather's bank account full and to keep his name out there.
Yeah.
And that's what this kind of felt like too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, the thing was, right, if he had gone in and lost his round, he would have been detrimental. You know, like, can you imagine that?
It would have been the worst loss. Would have been bad for everyone involved outside of Cowboy.
Like,
I couldn't imagine it happening.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. But I was never saying that ahead of the Mayweather fight. I was never saying that.
Yeah. Like losing to Khabib, who's no one's being. Losing to Mayweather, who's no one has been. Even losing to Aldo, the greatest featherweight ever. Losing to Eddie Alvarez, who at the time people were saying was one of, if not the greatest lightweight ever. It's like, yeah, you lost the best.
Yeah, it would have been fine.
You just beat the guy who, no, the narrative has never won a big fight. You know, which Casey was not on.
Who was also never
been
a softball in his entire career.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's he's being softballs. He just hasn't. He's actually has been softballs, but any name reckon any
and
high level
at a high level.
Yeah. But
is it good?
Last dance switching.
Is it good for the sport to have McGregor back winning, creating storylines? Is it definitely good for the UFC's wallet, right? It's definitely good for his wallet. But is it good for everything? Like, I mean. There was a situation then when he had two titles where it felt like everything got held up. He didn't fight, you know. Like, I mean,
he kind of his presence in the multiple divisions actually held up progress.
Yeah.
In terms of moving people up and down the ranks and finding new contenders and things like that.
It also set a precedent that champions could sit out for bigger fights.
Right, and set a precedent that you could cut in line if you were just louder.
You know, well, if you make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I personally don't think it's good for the sport. It's good for bank accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for high level competition. Like if.
You just pour coffee on yourself?
So excited.
Casey is so just baffled by this notion of money fighting that he's
But it's yeah, so what you
I don't
mean
think there's any more in there.
Oh, this sucks.
You mean it's
this is the worst day, Casey's.
Yeah.
You mean it's like bad for the sport in terms of it could hold up a lot of things. It could maybe obscure people who deserve things because he'd get it before.
Do you think Aldo would be getting a shot against Henry Cejudo if Conor hadn't done all that? Like skipping the line, big thing.
Basically, you can come, losers get title shots.
Right.
You think he invented that?
No, like, do you think Aldo would have had gotten a fight with Cejudo? Like, this whole double weight thing and everything. Like, Conor started all that. Like, Bisping sat out for almost a year and a half waiting for GSP. And that held up the division like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's because Conor set that precedent. Like, hey, I'm going to. That's why it makes fighters like Max Holloway, he's like, I'll just fight whoever. Kind of like down there, like the rare breed in MMA. Max is like, I could go up to lightweight and have a champ versus champ fight, or I could rematch Conor. But he's like, nope, I'll fight Alexander Volkanovski. I'll fight Brian Ortega. And off John Jones fighting Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes seems like a weird thing nowadays. Like, actually fighting
in your division.
Number one contenders
feels
weird now.
So his presence basically nullifies the meritocracy element of the sport.
I mean, that's kind of a joke. I kept saying, like, oh, great win by Conor. I guess he's going to fight Gaethje next. LOL.
Yeah.
And everyone knows, of course, that's not going to happen. Of course, he'll never fight Gaethje. Because we say it's good for the sport. If it was good for the sport, they're like, oh, cool. Now we can have the best fight the best for the number one contender. That would be good for the sport. That's not good for bank accounts.
It's better for business. It's not good for the sport. I understand. I'm
on the fence about this, but like, I don't think Conor actually creates MMA fans. I don't think he makes the sport bigger.
No, they're Conor fans.
They're Conor fans. Yeah, like,
right.
There are exceptions because I do know a lot of people that they became Conor fans, and then when he became this like
so many
this Conor character, fans. They were like, well, I actually realized I like MMA.
Yeah.
So they stick around, but
he's introduced so many people in Europe to MMA. I think I don't know.
I think it is different. I think it is different in Europe.
Yeah,
than Ireland, especially
yeah,
as far
yeah.
as making the sport bigger. But
yeah.
I think over here.
Well, I think that's why they're keeping on like and not in Ireland, but like the UFC is looking for that big Mexican star to like make, like they might not, they don't know enough about MMA, but if they get a person that they can latch onto, then they can learn about the sport.
I know I keep on talking about it, but I mean, it did kind of overshadow the whole event, right? Like, I mean, it seemed like that's all it was about, getting Conor back to winning ways, right? Like, that's, we got the exact result everyone wanted, pretty much.
I didn't really care what the end result was. It was just, if Conor winning would create more storylines.
Yeah, maybe. This was it was a perfect game for the UFC promotional-wise this week. Mm-hmm. Perfect game. Like, we could...
I agree with you. And then even Conor was like in the post-fight press conference, I don't know, or I can't remember if it was the press conference or the interview. He's like, I just beat the guy with the most head kick knockouts with a head kick. He's like, that was another thing he added to himself. He's like, I just head kicked Cowboy Cerrone, who has head kicked more people in UFC history. Like, to me, that's equivalent to a championship. And I was like, oh, this is another thing you're going to add to your repertoire.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have more than a left hand. I have a left shoulder too. I was like, yeah. This is just more things that are going to be brought up.
It's, yeah. I mean, what? Like,
are you not overjoyed as an Irishman right now? Like oh my God.
He is an ethical journalist who watches things unbiasedly. Say it.
No, I feel like, I think it's cool.
Where's your reaction video when he won, man? Jeez.
Oh, God.
You jumped in a pot of gold, right? It's like, man, that's how it works.
Just like
an Irishman.
50 points again.
Yeah, we're going to release that video.
Some say the devil is dead. The devil is dead. But, yeah, I think that was just what had to happen. Like, I said it from the get-go. He has to be on his best behavior. He has to put his best foot forward. But, like, look, if something happens now and there's another incident, he hitting the guy or anything like that, everything goes to shit. Like, you know, he has to be squeaky clean from here on out.
But why? What do you mean?
Because he could go to jail.
Okay, outside of the jail thing.
That's what I'm picking.
Like, that's pretty important. No?
Like, he might not be in jail. But he's not in jail.
What if he can't enter the country?
He's not. Then we'll have it in Moscow. They'll fit. They'll, all of a sudden, like, we're selling pay per views in Moscow. What are you talking about? Like, I don't. He's got like what $50,000 billion. He's like, they don't go to who's ever gone to jail with that much money. Name one person who's ever gone to jail with that much money.
I think he's viewing it as if Conor does something else and it goes to hell, all the Irish people are gonna hate him again. And like
I know I heard Conor that people are saying about the Irish people. He said it about me. I made the video, and then he was saying it was a mad narrative. But how many Irish people did you meet apart from me this week?
You?
Yeah, no, like I'm. They didn't travel. They didn't travel, right?
Yeah, the other
like,
journalist.
That was not bullshit. Yeah. Like that was not a fabricated storyline. ESPN wrote a story about it. The national broadcast wrote a story about it. I mean, it was pretty evident. But I feel like they needed the win. They needed to create some type of momentum to compel them to go again.
Yeah,
and that's why I feel like he's gotten off to a good step there. But and I know it means something to him. Yeah, obviously. Why would you say, you know, it was a trash storyline if it was true? You know?
Maybe so. That's what you mean.
Like, yeah,
if he kicks someone's cat, it's gonna be like,
oh, that won't go down well. Yeah,
see, so sad. Even you know, won't hurt his bank account.
You kick a cat, fire. You beat Mazda.
You're out, sir.
Whatever.
But that's not just that's not just Conor, and it's not just MMA. Like Tiger Woods, Tyson Fury. There's endless amount of sports stars that have hit hard times, and then as soon as they get a big win again, it's like, you know, Tyson Fury, homophobic slurs, he had an issue with a drug test. I believe that was all sorted out, though, but these were two bad things. He had the Deontay Wilder fight, and it was gone. And now, in fairness, I felt the difference between Tyson Fury and Conor was, Fury went on this long PR run. Remember, he was appearing on every show in the world and explaining to people how he changed, how his behavior wasn't great, and how he's, you know, trying to do his best from now on. We only really saw that in the last week before Conor's fight. Now, he still did it, but it was just more of a concerted effort, I felt, from Fury. But look, it's obviously won a lot of people back again anyway.
Yeah. And I think, at least in terms of American sports fans, I don't think that they need a huge apology tour. I think just a couple of
Ireland is also
will work.
Very small country.
Yeah, it's like small town. Yeah. So everything is just going around constantly. You know what I mean? Like there's so many stories, so much BS as well. It's very hard to tell what's true and what's not. And some people just want to believe the worst of people as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just the way it is. But
I'm sorry. Go on.
I was gonna say I was really surprised that on. You know, when we were doing all these scrums and everything this week, that Masvidal had better numbers than Conor. Does that change, do you believe, on the back of this? Like, is Conor back to being the
No, but I think he had better numbers, but there were so many cameras. It was just like...
Yeah, a lot of that has to do, I think, partially with the fact that Conor was so calm this week. People wanted to see what kind of crazy thing he would do, and then he didn't do anything crazy, so they tuned out.
It's like, well, I still watch on Saturday, but there's no need to. I gotta see his group by
like, I feel like there was so much Conor content this week,
in
general, and then so Masvidal just kind of appearing was like, oh, this is a surprise.
Yeah,
like you know, like it was more like a.
We didn't come here this week expecting anything from Masvidal.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we got two interviews, both drastically different in tone, but they were both great interviews.
Yeah, did the Masvidal thing? Like, do you feel as though that will be a tough one for fans to decide what side of the fence they're on if those two did fight?
In terms of,
like
American who they
fans,
support?
Yeah, yeah.
No. That, and that's why the fight is going to be gigantic, because it's clearly, like, you want this guy, you want that guy. I don't think there's not going to be too much in between. And this is going to be the old Conor, because, like,
he's already started talking.
Now it's going to be, whatever.
I thought that was pretty, like, it was that real fierce slagging. Like, it was, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like a woman at home watching the soaps. That's what women in Ireland wear when they're watching soaps and stuff. And it's just like, you know, when you could feel like as soon as he starts winning, he gets funnier as well. You know, everyone's like, oh yeah, you know what I mean?
It's coming out.
It must have been a big pressure off his shoulders. Like, boy, like
I just think those photos you got of him going to the ground looking relieved.
He looked relieved.
He did.
He's gotten very religious, I think. He's referencing
God
all
the time. Yeah, you're not wrong. No one asked him about that this week. I'm surprised.
Like, I mean, wait, like, I don't know. Like, I'd never noticed that about the guy before.
Yeah.
Like, John Cabin has always been a very kind of, you know, anti-God and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and, you know, and I never heard Conor disagree with him. You know what I mean? But, you know, maybe that's something that he had to find, like, to get himself back on track or whatever. I don't know, but I do notice that he's referencing God a lot, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of, I think that that has a lot to do with trying to stay sober. You need that kind of, I don't know.
A guiding force.
Yeah, to believe framework. Believe that there's something outside of yourself that's responsible for you.
Yeah, did have Tony Robbins there.
Yeah.
Is he religious, is he?
I don't know.
No, he's
tall.
I don't know.
I know he's tall.
I didn't know he was a big old thing until he walked into the Park MGM for the weigh-ins. I knew of his existence, but then he walked in and people freaked out. I was like, who is he?
Falling to their knees and all.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know who this is.
Yeah. I think in terms of right the Khabib fight or Masvidal, like, although I think I'd favor Masvidal now, it's in Conor's wheelhouse. If you're Conor's coach, who would you prefer him to fight?
Nate. Well, John Kavanaugh has been saying the Nate trilogy forever.
Oh, yeah, but forget about that. I'm talking about Masvidal v. Habib. Like, who would you ratify? I feel like it's only going to be
one of those.
Yeah.
Masvidal.
Yeah,
Masvidal.
Same here.
I don't think John Kavanaugh wants to go through another Habib buildup.
No,
I don't think anyone outside of Dana White wants to go through another Habib.
Oh, you used to be like...
Are we done of Gaethje? Are we just done of him?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to do it.
But journalists who cover the sport, are we just like...
That is
we don't care.
If your question, if the question is, if you're,
it's not going to be.
If
you're
Conor's team,
do we just not care? Are we over it?
Oh no, I didn't say that. But
I'm not saying that. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
like Dana White is not like he's the last person that's possibly going to be put into.
He didn't mention Dana. Didn't mention his name.
I think a lot of it
only that they have to get on the same page
of the things that were said to Conor by Gaethje on Twitter and stuff like that. I think that's what really.
So then, who does Gaethje fight? Poirier rematch?
He just has to fight guys. He has to fight. Top dudes until he loses.
Winner Felder.
I never get the fight.
Never get that. Because he's basically fighting title fight level competition. And eventually he'll lose, you know, like he did before.
What a time for Tony Ferguson to throw a spanner in the works here. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy that has history with Conor too, the whole paradigm situation and stuff like that. And then for him to go in there, we know it's a very close fight, but for most people's point of view, Habib is this, you know, undefeated destroyer, which he is. But if Tony went in and won, then, I mean, does he interject himself into the conversation?
I mean, yeah, if Tony goes in and wins, Conor gets that fight.
That'd be tasty, wouldn't it?
Because because the one thing I noticed online last night after the win was a lot of people were like, I do not want to see Conor Habib too.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in his fight against Cowboy that would show that any of that would play out differently. So no one wants to see that.
Well, we were on the post-fight show. You know the narrative is going to be pushed as Conor's refocused.
Yeah.
Like, it's a new Conor that didn't fight Habib. Which I don't think he beats Habib. They fight 10 times. Habib wins 10 times.
Yeah.
I think that's...
He wins 11 times.
He knocks him out and then his head bounces and wakes up.
Look,
so he knocks him out again.
This type of stuff, the original McGregor that emerged, he used to love that.
Yeah.
He used to love when people didn't think he's going to win. And now it seems to really annoy him.
I like that part of Conor. I like that
part. I'll show you.
And I want to see, I picked Aldo to beat him. And he did. I was like,
Yeah. Shut my mouth.
All right. I picked Eddie.
But that was the fun part, right?
Exactly.
And now he seems to get annoyed if he doesn't think he's
going to win. Well, I mean, after a while, you'd be like, why does everyone still doubt me?
Roxanne's not like that.
Well, Roxanne's comment was like, it is statistically proven that of all 40-something of my fights, I haven't favored once.
I won.
And I won. And then I asked her who it was. She was, I think it was this person.
I actually remember. It was an Invicta. And that was the one fight that she was very proud of because that was her first TKO victory. She finished her elbows on the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was an overmatched opponent, yeah.
That was, I felt like they put Macy Barber on there. That was... A huge.
Are we moving on to the people's main event?
the real
main event.
But it was just saying, like, obviously Conor brings so many new eyes.
Yeah.
And it was a huge spot for Macy to be in.
Yeah.
But holy shit, did it not go according to plan there?
It kind of went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I just thought that Macy.
I thought Roxanne was going to finish her.
Yeah, I mean, she could have if Roxanne... I mean, you saw Roxanne's tweet about how it never occurred to her to attack the...
I thought, she was going to, cut her open and then just get a rear naked choke when Macy's like, what's happening? And then she just takes advantage of a mistake.
Well, and that's the problem with Roxy, that she's a martial artist, And she's like, well, it's this competition. I'm here to win.
I'm
already winning the fight.
Yeah.
Why do I have to hurt her more? The fight's already won.
Yeah. Which actually brings me back to I want to know why Macy's Corner didn't throw in the towel when it was clear that her knee was hurt.
Did you watch the broadcast? Have you seen the broadcast of that knee check yet?
No.
The doctor literally says, oh, she has a partial ACL tear.
That's just ridiculous.
Like, those were words that left the doctor's mouth.
So, like at that point, if you were her corner, wouldn't you throw in the towel because you're like, partial is better than a full tear?
Well, first of all, the doctor did not know that he had a partial tear.
You can't know that.
But the corner knew her knee was blown. And there was zero chance of that blown knee. Because remember, she fell down like 3 times, like just from like little shots.
Even if they wanted to wait until she fell again, and then throw it in. Yeah,
she's
gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Roxanne just scored a basic takedown, and Macy Barber screamed in pain.
Yeah.
From just like getting a trip.
I feel like it was look, it's not only that she lost the fight. The way everything went down, it didn't share her own glory. I remember the cult man coming over trying to sort her face out in between rounds. She was like, get away from me or something like that. Don't touch me or something. And I was like,
it's the first time she's been.
I know, like, but I'm just saying it happened and it didn't look good.
There's like a video. It's like someone like, you can see, like, I went back and watched some of the highlights of that fight, and like Roxanne's on top, like kind of like trying to get a better position, and Macy's kind of like stuck like this. And she looks at the canvas, and there's just blood, and she just goes like, oh, crap, and like to her own blood, and then like gets back into the fight. Like she mouths something too. Like she looks down her eyes, and she's like, whoa, that's my blood.
It's got to be a huge learning curve for her. And look, she's so talented. She's so young. It's going to be the making of her, possibly.
Like, yeah, no, I feel like so many great fighters have early losses.
But this isn't an early loss. She's potentially out for a year.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying about the whole corner thing is like, a full tear versus a partial tear.
Yeah. Partial tear, you're out for like 3 months.
Conor McGregor blew his knee out in his second fight.
No. But he didn't blow it out like Macy blew it out. I interviewed Conor after. Like, he was walking normally. A slight limp at best.
He was out. Still out for a year.
Yeah, he's still out for a year. That's what I'm saying. And like,
he also won the fight.
Yeah.
Record.
He also won the fight. Yeah, it is 11
and,
months.
Yeah, and Max blew it. Max messed up his ankle in that fight too.
Yeah,
so
Max is also short notice.
Yeah.
Well,
for who? Who is Conor supposed to fight in that fight?
Ogle, wasn't it?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but imagine if Conor, like, that fight went standing. He kept falling on his knee, kept buckling. And they're like, you can win this fight still.
Sugar Sean, like, when he got hurt. But then we didn't get to see if he was going to come
back.
That
was wild, yeah.
Because then he got suspended. So
I just couldn't believe what the corner was doing. In the moment, I was so caught up with like, oh my god, Roxy's gonna just this giant underdog, betting wise. Not if you actually know the game, it was ridiculous.
It was wild.
But the betting line was like, that's all just fans
minus a thousand.
That's
yeah.
Mental.
You just can't. Yeah, somebody who's been steadily improving in every single bout and who beat Antonina Shevchenko. You can't just be like, oh yeah, this prospect's
and
definitely
the
gonna
only run. People she loses to in the UFC are people that miss weight. Jennifer Maia.
Do you remember
Sajar Eubanks, Jennifer Maia, like, and she takes these fights and then she comes up short. And I don't know if anyone saw, but on the live stream for the official weigh-ins, Macy's weighing in, and I was saying, like, yeah, she's at 125, but she did not look good on the scale in Boston, and she took a lot of time to come. And then when she got on, I can't remember if she needed the hoop or not, but she did not look great up there. Same thing this time. She got on the scale, and we were like, oh, that looked like a rough cut to 125 or 126. She makes it, and Roxanne is, like, hugging her team that her opponent made weight. And then I can't remember who told me, but it was one of the other reporters. Definitely wasn't you. One of the other reporters one of the other reporters was like, I heard, like, when we were, like, doing interviews with, like, fighters that if Macy had missed weight, Roxanne was not going to take the fight.
No, what I was going to say is, I saw her celebrate, and I was like, yeah, I wasn't trying to claim that one. Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
You gotta stop with this, Jose, all right?
Listen, when I think of official weigh-ins, I just turn into a mean individual, apparently.
I just hope that Macy, when she does get her MRI, that it was, I really hope it's just a partial tear, and that it wasn't like a partial tear, then she winds up tearing everything during that
weird
fight.
Weird thing that the doc checked on her between rounds, huh?
Well, it's weird that you would check on her, decide that it's torn, and then be like, yeah, you can keep fighting.
But like,
though.
What if
you can't tell it's torn? Just
but
like,
no, but even then, like,
but
to
like,
decide
what,
someone has a really bad injury and be like, yeah, just keep going.
But then, like, what if
Roxanne had no idea her knee was injured. And she wasn't this nice fighter.
I can't believe that she
And then tired. All of a sudden, like John Jones was fighting Thiago Santos, and he's like, I didn't even know his knees were injured. And Thiago Santos was fighting on two blown knees. And you know John Jones is one of those guys that'll target an injured limb.
As he should.
And or like when Korean Zombie dislocated his shoulder, and all of a sudden Jose Aldo's just like whipping these head kicks at that arm, and then he collapses. Like, it's one of those fighters. They have no idea Macy Barber is hurt, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, her knee's blown out. I'm going to kick the crap out of it.
Yeah.
So it was just weird to me. Even Roxanne was like, yeah, I didn't even understand what was going on. She's like, I knew she hurt her knee, but I've never seen that before.
One of the biggest stories that should be getting even more traction.
The MMA media really dropped the ball on this one. Absolutely. This was the story of the week.
A crystal-powered victory from Brian Kelleher. He was in need of a crystal.
Okay, that's a little bit of an understatement.
Where was Brian Kelleher?
I actually have a question.
Okay, Faso.
Did we violate journalistic ethics?
I'm starting to think about
giving him a crystal.
Absolutely. USADA, every Vada, Wada.
I think we have to leave it to Jose to explain what happened here.
Well, Brian Kelleher, former...
Timeline. Give a timeline.
Former co-host of the A-side, Brian Kelleher. Is a proud member of Team Crystal, as PT is showing everyone with his rock pyrite. Jessica, a long time listener to the show, always has the crystal keys to victory. She actually sent us crystals that are laid out nicely on the coffee table.
The crystal queen,
Jessica. And lately, a lot of other UFC fighters are like Molly McCann was like, oh, I want crystals. Jairzinho's retweeting her. Dan Hardy's getting in on this. And Brian Kelleher was always like interested in it. He had like a little crystal hanging from his thing, and he tweeted at me like a week or so ago saying, "Hey, get me a crystal necklace for my fight. I'll wear it." And I was like, I didn't think anything of it. And then at the official weigh-ins, he hits the scale and is immediately like, "Where's my crystal, man?" And I was like, "Oh man!" So I like MacGyvered a crystal necklace, sent him a message, and I was like, "Hey, I got you your necklace." Comes down, I give him his necklace. Like 1 hour later, he gets bumped to the pay-per-view main card.
It's true.
And then he walks out on the stage for the ceremonial weigh-ins. And what is around his neck? The crystal we gave him.
What?
Calm down now. What? Okay? Let's not jump to conclusions.
Not only is it around his neck, he takes his shirt off to weigh in.
He shows it.
And he lifts the crystal up. And I'm just like, and me and Pete, you're like.
Single tear.
Me and Pete, you're like. This is the craziest thing we've ever seen in our life. This is nuts. And we're like, this is cool.
A little bit of weed came out with me. I was so excited.
Yeah, right? Pete all of a sudden forgot, like, oh, wait, Connor's fighting? Huh? What?
There was another fight.
I flew here. What did I fly here for? And then all of a sudden he's on the pay-per-view main card of a Connor pay-per-view, and he gets a first-round submission win and a bonus. And then he comes back and you were in the scrum and he was like, it's all thanks to you guys and your crystal. We were like, this is insane.
And it was like, it's true. That is absolutely.
And then while the fight is happening, people are blowing us up on Twitter about this crystal thing.
Crystals!
Brian Kelleher tweets a video being like, Team Crystal. He's like tagging us in the thing. We're like, what a world. What a time to be alive.
If you look at the rest of the card, every fighter that didn't have a crystal, they all lost. Everyone lost.
And then we wake up this morning and one of the biggest stars in the UFC at this current moment, Jorge Masvidal,
is quote tweeting Brian Kelleher saying like, you killed a man, hashtag the resurrection. I'm just like, this is the most insane time.
Now we have a revelation to make here. We thought we gave Brian Kelleher,
pyroid.
It turns out we didn't. And wait till you hear.
So we were like, oh no, did we sabotage? And turns out we gave him tigers.
I'm going to read to you what this is. And this is directly from
Jessica.
Get it close. Like, get eye contact.
This is directly from Jessica.
Eye contact it there. Like,
this one.
So which one do you think?
Where's my mic? Where's my camera?
It's right there.
So what we thought we gave Brian Kelleher pyroid. We actually gave him tiger's eye, which PT is holding up right here. And...
Oh.
I was like, what? So what did the crystal actually help him? And then we read the description that Jessica sent us.
The queen,
crystal queen.
So we're gonna read all this now? Okay, wait, hold on. Cue in the music.
keep Tiger's Eye as a stone of luck and good fortune to attract a steady flow of money to the home. It is ideal for entrepreneurs and those setting out in business for the first time. Use as a support stone for determination and to overcome fear during exams, competitions, public performances, selling one's creations in the marketplace, or presenting ideas in important meetings. Protection from the negative intentions of others sharpens the senses, helps one pay attention to details. It also reduces anxiety caused by feelings of isolation or inadequacy and helps overcome discouragement. And he was coming into this contest on a
two-fight losing streak. He was tweeting how rough the weight cut was. We saw him and he goes, that when he came down to get his necklace, he goes, that weight cut was not fun. He came in, like, usually when he hits a certain, like, he's like 8 days out, I usually weigh this. I was like 5 pounds heavier. He was a terrible weight cut. He's on a two-fight losing streak. Wins, gets that steady flow of income with that 50K bonus, gets up to the main card, fights like 2-3 fights before Conor. I mean, I don't want to say it was the crystal, but it was definitely the crystal.
It was 100% the crystal.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. I would say maybe 5% Brian, 95% Tiger's Eye.
100% Tiger's Eye. Brian was there. I mean, if we're being honest, Brian, send that check to tigereye.com.
As far as I know, he is going to invest the $50,000 in Tiger's Eye. That's what he's told us.
That would probably not be
smart, man. That is a good investment.
That's a really solid investment.
Brian Keller buys $50,000 worth of Tiger's Eye.
And the next day, he became a billionaire.
So, Conor versus Brian Keller. I think it's the fight to make.
How much Tiger's Eye do we need to make that fight happen? Imagine Conor start using Tiger's Eye. That's a scary thought, guys.
Shut it down. Just shut the world down. Oh, my God.
I'm overwhelmed.
And one of the other narratives coming out of this fight is that Conor became one of the... He kept saying he was like the first fighter... Or people were tweeting, "Oh, first fighter to get knockouts in three weight classes."
And of course, Jose has to check that out.
I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Uh-uh. Turns out, Captain Crystal himself, Jared Cannonier, has knockouts at heavyweight, light heavyweight, and middleweight. So
Cannonier v. Conor.
Cannonier versus Conor. I mean, it's just the fight to make. Vitor Belfort, who also did the.
And you said Pettis as well.
Well, Pettis is too, but he had a submission win at featherweight. I don't think he ever got a knockout. So he has.
Tigers are. Crystals are knockouts. Crystals are knockouts. Yeah. Submission. Ooh, it was a submission.
What did he say? First one to shoot is a cow bitch.
Jeez. And you know what? You know, I love Israel Adesanya. He is a brilliant man for ducking Cannonier. Ooh. He is ducking Cannonier.
He knows he's powered by crystals.
He knows that.
So he's the, what do we call him? The Prime Minister of Pyrite?
We've been trying to think of new names all day.
The Crystal Chancellor.
Yeah. We're gonna be working on this a lot.
The Viceroy of Rocks.
This is it. I hope Brian doesn't mind. We're gonna take 2 weeks to just think of names for
Brian. I'm going to fly overseas for the actual mineral case.
I did want to share with you for Christmas. I received some crystals.
Oh my god!
What?
Oh my god! Look at the size of this crystal!
Whoa!
I can feel its aura. Oh my god!
What kind of crystals are they?
Can we touch?
Beautiful. Not already.
This looks like the crystals from Superman.
That could be quartz.
That Marlon Brando as Jor-El was.
It's not quartz.
You want to try and channel its energy?
That one's supposed to be for healing.
I feel better.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this one for? God, I feel good.
I feel bad that I forgot already. I have written it down.
What's this one for healing? God, I feel better.
To good health.
Whoa!
I figured I would just share them with you because they were quite impressive, and I thought that they were
in the hands of the wrong person. Dangerous gift. Too. So dangerous. You need to be able to harness the energy of the crystal correctly.
This is just we covered the silliest sport.
You know.
Yeah, MMA was silly to begin with. Then we just added crystals.
Well, you know, we just see everybody in the comments saying, please talk more about crystals.
I just want to know, we're reading your comments.
Don't worry, guys.
Your pro crystal comments, We see them. We see them.
Unrelated to crystals. Did you not see it?
Unrelated to crystals. Get out.
This is important. Get out. I'm sick of you all week, John. Unrelated to crystals. You used to be the man for
crystals. I am.
You used to love crystals.
Ultimate fighting crystals. That's why we're here. Ultimate fighting crystals.
Did you get a bunch of finger paint tweets?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it was in the middle of a scrum, whatever, and my phone just starts to vibrate. I thought someone was calling me. Yeah. So then I look, and it's just like, finger paint. I'm like, oh, I guess the pay-per-view's starting.
Yeah. I mean, we can make finger paint the anthem of the Crystal Fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Whew, that was a strong, you know, I don't really know where we can go from here because first of all, I'm all jacked up on crystals. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I'm like out of my face on crystals like Brian Keller was, you know what I'm saying?
Crystals out the face.
He was out of his mind on crystals in that fight. I mean, I'm just glad he was sat there and checking for it yet because, my God.
Yeah.
Tiger's right up to his eyeballs.
I'm going to feel bad when he pops for Crystal.
he lost another one to Crystal, guys. Like,
got the fighting rising where they allow all crystals.
Well, I think that's everything. I think we put a nice little bow on the event. At least we tried to anyway. But so thank you, everybody who tuned in to us this week. From Esther Lynn, Jose Youngs, E. Casey Lydon, and myself, PT Carroll, we love yous loads. Can I have a crystal, please? Jesus. And we hope you'll tune in soon at UFC 247 or another event sometime soon.
There'll be a Bellator.
Yeah.
There'll
be a Bellator. Next week.
Next weekend at Bellator, then. Disregard what I said. See you then.
Sing us out.
Finger paint, would you think? Would you something to this? Finger paint! Finger paint! Finger paint! Look, two points.
Y'all are fucking nuts.
They're gonna love all that crystal talk.
I'm gonna edit the Connor part out.